This is the Side Hustle Show with Nick Loper, episode My Super Sweet 16.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. This is episode 16, and it's a good one. Ari Mysel is here from lessdoing.com, and don't let the name fool you. He gets more done in a day than the rest of us probably do in a week, and we're going to learn from him how to leverage your skills into an all-new side hustle on the online education platform Udemy, U-D-E-M-Y.com. But first order of business, tons of shout outs for the new 5-star iTunes reviews this week. Soundscape says thoughtful and informative 5 stars. John Dumas from last week's show says, Nick rocks the mic with amazing content. I can't get enough. Bring me the side hustle. And Coda GE adds, this is a great podcast and has excellent guests. If you ever want to start your own business, I recommend you listen to this. So thank you guys so much for those. I read everyone that comes through, and I just love all the support and encouragement for putting together the show. So today's interview is packed with useful tips on how to get started earning money as a virtual teacher from one of the leading instructors out there, Ari Mysel. Now, bear with me because the audio on my side of the call is not up to our usual standards for the first couple minutes of the show, but gets better after that. Enjoy. Ari, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Thanks a lot for having me, Nick.
Okay, so Ari is a serial entrepreneur, triathlete, consultant, biohacker, TEDx speaker, and much, much more. So not an easy guy to write a bio for, but definitely one of the smartest and most accomplished people out there. So Ari, can you give us a quick background on how you got to this point and kind of how you became the achievement architect that you are today?
Sure. So I started my first company when I was 12 in website design, and then I sort of started a couple others before high school. After I went to college, I started working in real estate development. I was visiting a friend in upstate New York, and he showed me these old buildings from the 1860s, and I bought them and started this long project to build lofts in upstate New York. So I've basically been a real estate developer for the last 11 years, and mostly after I finished that project, I focused mostly in the Hamptons. Doing LEED certified sustainable office and apartment development. But about 7 years ago, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, which is a chronic inflammatory condition of the digestive tract that is very painful. I was taking a lot of medicine, and it's considered to be incurable. And after some pretty bad experiences that put me in the hospital, I decided I had to do something different. So I went on this long journey of self-tracking and self-exploration. And in about 3 months, I was off my meds. And 3 months after that, I competed in my first triathlon. About a year after that, I went on to do Ironman France. And somewhere in the middle of that, I realized that there was a large part of my problem related to stress. I had figured out the 80% of it, which I thought was nutrition and fitness and supplements. But then there was this big element of stress, and I decided the only systematic way to deal with that was to create a productivity system to help me free up as much time as possible and reclaim my mind. So I created Less Doing as a way of helping people optimize, automate, and outsource everything in their lives in order to be more effective.
Okay. That's just a crazy story about beating an incurable disease in a matter of months. Like, are doctors kind of like studying your process at this point?
Well, so there's some debate. My doctor was incredibly supportive throughout this process, but he felt that the medicines that I was taking had a long-lasting effect, although I've been medicine and pain-free for over 5 years now. So there are definitely cases of people with Crohn's being in remission for decades even and then it coming back. But for me, being what I call cured is really almost a state of mind, because I've learned so much about my body now, and I've learned so much about how to deal with these things in a natural and healthy way, that if it were to ever come back again, I'll know how to deal with it then as well.
Okay. Yeah, that's really, really inspiring story. Very cool. So shifting gears a little bit, let's talk about Udemy and teaching. So I had the privilege of taking the Less Doing course on Udemy, and as kind of a productivity nerd, I was kind of excited to take it. So Udemy, if you're not familiar, it's an online education platform where you can learn from the world's best in a huge variety of different subjects and courses. I think they have like over 8,000 courses online now. Some are free, some are paid. And that's where it starts to get interesting for side hustlers, is now there's this opportunity to reach an audience of over 1 million students on Udemy. And that number is growing every day, to teach your skills to the world and potentially earn an income doing it. So can you kind of tell us how you got started on that platform?
Yeah, so I originally started teaching classes in New York through Skillshare, which was interesting. I never thought of myself as a teacher. I basically created this productivity framework, and I thought I wanted to write a book. So I thought I really needed to get in front of some people and get some real-time feedback and hone the content, which was the reason I started teaching. And the first class had 8 people in it. And then I taught the class 30 more times throughout the city.
Wow.
Over the course of, I think, a year, and taught at a general assembly and then started doing some private corporate seminars, and it really grew. But there is a scalability issue there, obviously. You know, I have to be there for 2 to 3 hours each time, and I have to market the classes, and I have to deal with the students. And it was fun. It was great. But as with most things in my life at this point, my decisions are motivated a lot by how much time I have to spend away from my kids and my wife. So I love teaching, and I love teaching in person. But I have to say, I kind of love even more waking up every morning and seeing the 15 people took my class.
So Skillshare is kind of an in-person platform, right? So you got to be standing there in front of the group lecturing, basically.
Yeah, Skillshare is kind of like the learn anything from anyone grassroots kind of thing, where it was. They've sort of moved to more of an online model as well. But Udemy is basically, there's no live stuff on Udemy other than people can ask questions and you can answer them. But I basically filmed one of my sessions in New York. And just as an experiment, I knew that it was really popular in New York, and I taught in LA and a couple other places, and I knew that there were these particular markets of people with a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of like tech kind of people that were really into it, but I didn't know how it would be perceived in the rest of the world, essentially, and that's what Udemy is. It's a global platform. So I just had one of my sessions filmed, and then I edited a video and added something, threw it up on Udemy. And I started getting students in Australia and Russia and Spain and, you know, Ecuador. And it was, like, amazing to see the response people were getting. I'm actually in the process of translating the class into 2 other languages right now.
Wow, that's awesome. I love it because, like you said, it's kind of, once it's up there, it's automated. Students can go through at their own pace, and you don't need to be present. It's not necessarily, it's not 100% passive, because you got to be around to answer questions, and it took some time investment to get it set up. But once it's up and running, it's relatively passive, right?
Absolutely. It absolutely is. And what's nice about it, too, is especially for my kind of class, and I mean, this is the case for, I think, a lot of I guess what you could call extracurricular classes, you know, the things that aren't like certification courses for your job, but where people want to learn additional skills. It's always the kind of thing where your friend tells you, I took this awesome class, you've got to check it out. But if it's in person, then it's like, okay, well, you know, they're teaching it this month, one time at this location, and I can't make it, and I forget about it. Whereas if it's online, the person can literally be like, I just took this awesome class, here's the link, you've got to take it.
Yeah, okay. Very cool. So how much time did it take to get set up? Well, you said you were teaching the class already, so it was just a matter of filming it and editing it and adding, you know, some additional stuff. But I'm curious, like, how much content... Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, well, so since... Yes, right. So I basically... The version one of the Udemy class was literally, you know, I took a 2-hour video and cut it into 8 different clips and then added some blog posts to go along with each one that I had already written. And basically what people were paying for was access to those videos. And one of the nice things, one of the value adds with Udemy is that once someone signs up for your class, they are a student for life of yours, basically. So anytime you update something or anytime you add something, they're going to benefit from that, which is a good selling point. So that was the original, and that, you know, didn't take very much time at all. But now, since then, updated all of the videos almost and put a whole bunch of new content. But even so, I think I redid the course in a couple of nights. You know, it might have taken me 2 or 3 hours of doing screencasts and compiling some material.
Okay. So it's 2 hours worth of videos. So that's a pretty decent length of a lecture for somebody to try and put together. For people looking at making the transition from student to teacher, any advice for the listeners, just to brainstorm what kind of course they could offer?
Well, so first of all, with Udemy, you have to have an hour of video, basically. And I think they want you to have an hour of video, and basically 60% of your course should be video. But,
okay.
But what's a nice thing is that you can very quickly and easily just test out things. You know, you might have an idea, and you can search on Udemy to see if it already exists. And, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. If there's a bunch of courses about one subject, that may mean that it's saturated and you don't have a chance, but it also might mean that there's a lot of people wanting that stuff. On the other hand, if you find something that is not being taught, then obviously there's an opportunity there. And it's so easy to make a screencast. That was one of the things that was a real holdback for me for a long time, is I had this video of me talking, and I felt like if I was going to redo the videos, I needed to get a really nice setup again and have somebody film me and present to, like, an empty room. And I didn't want to do that. Making a screencast is so easy now and really high quality. And what I love about it is that you can show people a website, you can show people a video, and they can see a video of you talking, and it's all really relevant and very focused. And you can make a really high quality video lesson in 5 minutes and then post it up. But the biggest piece of advice that I would say is every one of you listening knows something that nobody else knows. And it's very possible that somebody else might like to know that.
Yeah, I like to go back to the expert enough theory, and I don't know who came up with this, but it's like, you probably, if you know more about a certain topic than the average person, that makes you an expert to the average person, right? And so, you know, maybe that can turn into a teaching opportunity. Very cool. I wanted to ask, like, so are the classes a lot of practical stuff like yours, or is there, like, could you learn medieval history or whatever else?
So I think that a lot of the times people shy away from the academic stuff necessarily. However, I mean, that's what I've seen. However, now you have Cornell on Udemy. So they're actually there's a Cornell data analysis and data mining class that I think is supposed to be really cool. But the top performing class on Udemy is an Excel teaching course, and they've made over $1 million. And there's several courses on Excel. There's a lot of cooking classes. I know that there's a class on how to learn the piano. So, I mean, what's cool is that a lot of these things are things that you might not think you could learn in a self-paced online course, but people have figured out a way to present the content in a really digestible manner.
Wow, that's awesome. I got to check out the Excel one. I spend all day in Excel, so any tips and best practices for that would definitely be helpful. So let's talk about pricing. So a lot of the courses are free, kind of the public domain courses and stuff are free, but yours is a paid course and a ton of others. Like you said, this Excel course has made over $1 million. Is there any best practices for pricing, or kind of what would an average cost for a class be?
So I have one class that's $10 and two classes that are $49. And both the $49 classes have performed much better than the $10 class, which is fine. The $10 class for me is sort of like an intro class. It's like a taste of what Less Doing offers, and it's obviously meant to drive people to the other classes, and I cross-promote the classes, of course. But I would say that it's better to, with Udemy at least, it's better to start low and then raise your prices over time, which you certainly can do very publicly. You can put a subtitle saying, you know, limited time offer for this month only, it's going to be this price. Because with Udemy, I think that, and they're, one of the things that I love about Udemy is that they're really good to their teachers. They have a Facebook group for us, and they're very responsive to any questions. It's a very, very active community. And they're also really good at helping promote your classes. Basically, their metric is that once you get 100 students, then you're, I don't know, something like seven times more likely to get more students. So a lot of people have used this tactic of putting a free coupon for their new classes on Reddit and getting like 700 users in 3 days for free, and then they start charging for it. Or they'll use that free class as a feeder to a different class that is a paid class.
Okay, okay. Yeah, that's an interesting strategy. Kind of get some social proof, basically, because I'm sure they probably show, you know, how many reviews you have, how many, you know, students and stuff. So yeah, if you can kind of stack the deck in your favor for free, and then start charging after that, that's a great idea.
Yes, absolutely. And the reviews really helpful. But there's another thing that's nice with the Udemy platform is that you can see how far through the course each student has gone. And you can send messages to students based on how far they've gotten, which is also, which is really helpful. So if you've got the students who sign up for the course, you know, look at one lesson and then never come back to it, you can maybe target a campaign towards them. But then if you have the students that finish the course in one day and they're obviously hungry for more, you know, then you can target them as well. So it really lends itself to kind of, sort of honing your marketing chops, I guess.
Okay, okay. As far as revenue share, what percentage do they take for facilitating the transactions and stuff?
So they take 30%, which honestly I think is very, very, very fair. Considering the amount of promotion they do on your behalf, the fact that it's all hosted online, they deal with all technical support issues, It's just a really good platform. I think 30%, and it's a digital product. I mean, you know.
Right, right. It's all margin.
exactly. So, you know, if you're selling enough, they can take 50%, and it will matter. But they only take 30%. And when they do promotions, it stays in line that way.
Okay, so 30%, same as the App Store. So that's probably pretty standard in the online world. So Udemy has published the statistic that 1 in 4 of their instructors are earning $10,000 a year from the site, which I think that's just huge. So I wanted to ask, you know, what the top sellers are doing that their lower earning peers aren't?
I would say that, obviously subject matter is going to be part of it, but there are ways to do this stuff very professionally without, you know, having to spend $1,000s on camera equipment and all that stuff. It's really about laying it out in a way that relates to people. But as far as quality goes, I'll say this. It seems that people will forgive you for having bad video quality, but they will not forgive you for having bad audio quality.
Okay. All right. So invest in a good microphone.
Yes, a good microphone and a quiet room. And my brother-in-law, who is a very talented composer for film and TV named Felix Bird, basically told me a while ago that he has all this sound dampening equipment, and he said, just go do the recording in your closet. And I can tell you, I do all of my podcasts and everything in my closet surrounded by clothes, which absorbs all the sounds.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Did you find most of the Less Doing students kind of came from your tribe or your existing audience and blog, or did they come kind of from within the Udemy ecosystem on their own?
I think it's got to be within the Udemy ecosystem, because I know how many students I had in person, and I invited all of them in my newsletters and stuff, and based on the students that I have been getting and also the locations that they've been coming from, I think I'm getting more international students than not at this point, to be honest.
Okay, well, yeah, I found the same thing on Amazon with a couple books. On Amazon, I expected the traffic and sales to kind of flow through my site as part of the funnel. But I can tell, you know, because I affiliate link those, that almost none of the sales come through me. They all kind of have found the books organically through Amazon, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, which is nice when you're on a platform that provides that kind of promotion.
Yeah, that kind of promotion, that kind of reach. So beside from Udemy, are there any other similar education platforms you can kind of syndicate this content to once it's created?
Not that I have experimented with. I mean, I been approached by several other ones to get my content on them. And honestly, so far, except for one, which I'll tell you about, I haven't seen any that even come close as far as legitimacy. The one that I am going to be putting my content on as a syndicate is called Paddle.com.
Okay.
And they're based out of Britain, and they have a very different model, which is cool. But basically, people pay a membership fee to have access to any of the content on the thing. And that's, you know, whether it's courses or games or software, but it's all person created content. And then you get paid based on the user's time spent on the content and what percentage of that time was on your content.
Okay. That is an interesting one. It's kind of like Lynda, except with a little twist.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah, it's like paying your tuition, and then you can take whatever course you want, just like, you know, regular university.
Exactly.
Very, very cool. So Ari, kind of wrapping up toward the end, what's your number one tip for the part-time entrepreneurs at Side Hustle Nation?
Get a virtual assistant. I'm serious. I mean, because you have websites and services that are like Fancy Hands now where you can get a virtual assistant for as little as $25 a month, everybody should, even if you have an executive assistant sitting right next to you, I don't care. Try working with a virtual assistant because it is a educational process for you in terms of efficiently delegating and defining a process. Because if you have to explain something to somebody who you've never met, may never meet, or probably will never meet, and may never interact with beyond this one task, that's a very interesting parameter to put on yourself in terms of describing a task properly. So yeah. Do that and you will become a more effective delegator, not to mention the fact that you're going to have somebody helping you get stuff done, especially if it's a side hustle and you don't have the time to do it during the day.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Fancy Hands myself, and you're 100% right. You know, I get some tasks back and they're amazing and awesome and save me so much time, and I've like loved the service, and then I get others back that are kind of less than awesome, and then I have to look back really at myself and the kind of the parameters that I sent over and say, okay, I didn't really define what I was looking for very well. So it's very educational on top of the productivity aspect of having somebody else do your stuff for. And it's really addicting to be like, I don't want to deal with that. I'll send it to Fancy Hands. But yeah, very educational in kind of learning that skill of delegation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I outsource an average of 150 tasks a month.
Well, you're a serious power user.
I outsource so many tasks that I can't even do it all myself. So I've automated the outsourcing of some of those tasks through IFTTT.
I know. I saw your post on that. That's super awesome. All right. So if people want to check out Ari's course, it's udemy.com/lessdoing. The blog is lessdoing.com. Anywhere else people can find you online?
You definitely can follow me on Twitter at Ari Mizell. I post like hundreds of things a week that I find interesting in terms of productivity and wellness. But also, if people go to my website and sign up for the newsletter, I'm trying to put out some really cool content through that as well.
All right, very good. We will link to all of that stuff, of course, at sidehustlenation.com/episode16. And with that, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
All right, talk to you soon. Hey, guys, what did you think of that interview with Ari? I really liked his tip about using the coupon offers to blow up your new course right away with a ton of new visitors and really get started with a bang right out of the gate. So let's take a minute to start thinking of what kind of course you could offer up to the world. Let's brainstorm what you know more about than the general population. You don't need to be an expert to be seen as an expert by others, and you just need to know more about that topic than your students. And I don't mean that in any sort of shady or negative way. Just you can, you know, if you have a valuable skill to teach to the world, I say go ahead and do it, even if you haven't like earned some, you know, crazy official stamp or seal of certification. I think that is probably going by the wayside here in the near terms. So one exercise you can do is think of all the specialized skills and knowledge that you have, whether those are related to a current or former job or even your hobbies. So in my line of work, that might have been pay-per-click advertising or car dealership service department operations. It may be for you, is small business accounting, blogging, how to raise and train a Shih Tzu. I don't know. So one way to measure your perceived expertise is to consider what your friends ask you about, what they ask you about for advice, for help. In my case, I had a lot of people curious about my treadmill desk, so I wrote a book about it. People ask me about peer-to-peer lending, affiliate marketing, small business outsourcing, and people don't ask me about home improvement because they know I'm not super handy. But take a minute to write down a few things you might be considered expert enough in and start to outline some ideas. If there is some skill there that others would pay for and you can come up with enough material to make an hour-long class from it, I think you've got an outstanding opportunity for a smart little side hustle here on Udemy. Now, I like this trend toward peer-to-peer actionable education. The tuition is about a million times cheaper than a traditional education, and you can pick and choose the exact curriculum you're interested in. So these guys on Udemy are onto something big, and I'd love to see Side Hustle Nation be a part of it. Now, if you end up creating a course of your own, or if you've taken any classes there already, please let me know in the comments at sidehustlenation.com/episode16, or send me a quick note. It's nick@sidehustlenation.com. We'd love to hear from you. Alrighty, that's it for me. Until next time, go out there and make something happen, and I'll see you next week in episode 17.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.